All right, Shavu, say good morning. A beautiful daf ahead of us today. We are up today, daf is Samech Zayin 67, and we are actually going to start on daf Samech Zayin 2, 4, 5 lines down from the top at the two dots. What's our share this morning is sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. Lustman in memory of Dr. Lustman's father, Jacob Lustman, Yaakov Eliezer ben Yosef. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama has an aliyah and the family a Nechama. Thank you. And we'll say also our share this month is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack in memory of Saul and Floret Pollack, Sarah Bas Avram, Shmuel Ben Zechariah. May their neshamas have an aliyah and the families a nechama. All right, we'll say, let's begin. A lot to do today. So we'll say, so we are up to the two dots, Zeaklal, Kol Shebehana Oso, Beno Seintam. So remember again, Rav Osai. So the Mishnah quoted a statement that Kol Shebehana Oso Beno Seintam Oser. That Rav Osai, any time that ultimately, again, you have an infusion of forbidden flavor, and that forbidden flavor has a positive impact on the food, ultimately, again, the mixture will be Oser. Kol She'ein Bahana Oso Beno Seintam. Rav Osai, any time that the infusion of flavor does not have a positive impact on the mixture, then mutter. Then ultimately, again, the mixture is mutter. So the Mishnah gave an example of Osai, what we call no sein tam lifgam, which means an infusion of flavor that has a detrimental effect. What's the example of that? Kigon chometz shenofa al gabe grisin, like vinegar that spills on split beans. Split beans, apparently vinegar and split beans, it's a big no-no. So they will say, so that's an example of no sein tam lifgam. So it says the Gemara as follows. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Hachi Hilchasa. They will say, so Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, that this is indeed the halacha. That the halacha, Rashi says, the no sein tam lifgam mutter. That I will say, when you have a mixture of a forbidden object, forbidden substance that gets mixed into something permitted, but the taste infusion from the forbidden object, from the forbidden substance, has a detrimental impact, a negative taste impact, upon the entire mixture, then the mixture is permitted. What we call no sein tam lifgam, a taste infusion that actually negatively impacts the entire food, is mutter, is going to be permitted. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Neim Shmuel, that this is indeed the halacha. V'am Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Lo shanu elo, shenaf alasoch grisin roschin. So say, by the way, now the Gemara just qualifies the Mishnah's case. Remember, the paradigmatic case in the Mishnah of no sein tam lifgam, of a negative food item when mixed into something else that has a detrimental impact, is the case of vinegar, which in this case is prohibited vinegar, which is mixed into permitted split beans. So we'll say apparently the vinegar has a negative impact on the taste of the beans, therefore it's no sein tam lifgam, therefore the mixture is permitted. So Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, that's what? So let's qualify this. Lo shanu ela shenaf alasoch gris in roschen. We'll say that's only if the beans were hot. Only if the beans were hot. Aval, nafal asol grease and sonin. But I will say, if at the end of the day it fell into beans which were cold, so we'll say, so again, if the beans are hot, that's when apparently the vinegar is no sein tam lifgam. If the beans are cold, then it doesn't have a negative impact. So listen to this. Aval nafal asol grease and sonin. But I will say, if the prohibited vinegar fell into the permitted beans that were cold, v'her sichon, and that was heated up. So we'll say, what's very intriguing about this case? Whoever knew that split beans could be so fascinating? But we'll say, but they are. Listen, what's fascinating about this case? When the vinegar falls in, so what's the status of the mixture? What's the status of the vinegar? It's no sein tam l'shvach. That's what we call it's good. Meaning, the truth is, the vinegar is beneficial. Then what happens, and therefore it should be aser, then what happens? You heat it up. Now, at the time you heat it up, at that point in time, the vinegar has a detrimental impact on the beans. So what do I do in this case? So Shmuel says, "Aval nafa l'soch gris and sonin." If the vinegar fell into cold beans, vir sichan, and then was heated up, then na'ase kemi shehshbiach ulubasov pagam va'aser. Then I will say, this will be like a case where ultimately, again, a forbidden substance first benefited the food, and then only afterwards had a detrimental impact on the food, and is therefore usher. Which I will say is another way of saying what? Another way of saying that in general, and we'll see this again in the laws of kashrus, we get to chulin, is that Rabbi said the status of a mixture is determined when? Is determined when? At the time that the mixture occurs. So what we do is we gauge the halachic status of the mixture at the time the two items are mixed together. So when the vinegar falls into the beans, what we do halachically is we define the nature of that mixture right then and there. So if it falls into the beans and the beans are hot at the time the vinegar fell in, then what? That's no same time with gum. That's going to have a negative impact, and therefore, again, the mixture will be mutter. If it falls into cold beans, and therefore, again, has a positive impact, then ultimately, again, it will be usser, even though subsequently you go ahead and you heat up the beans, and it becomes a no same time with gum. V'chein. So again, so that's the statement. That's the statement of Shulz. We'll say, so we come out with two things over here. Number one, that we paskin no seitam lefgam is aser. The Rebbe will say when the prohibited item has a negative taste impact on the mixture will be permitted. That's halacha lemaisa. Although again, the parameters of that are much more complicated than the way we're making it over here. But at least that's the parameters of it. That's number one. And number two, that the halachic status of the mixture is determined at the time the mixture is created. Even if the mixture undergoes some type of change later on, we do not judge the status by the latter impact or by the latter effects, but what happens right now. So for example, one more time. If the vinegar falls onto the cold beans, right now that's called no same time l'shvach, that's beneficial, therefore the mixture is usser. Even if 2 minutes later you heat up the beans, now it's hot beans with vinegar, and everyone knows that hot beans with vinegar simply do not go. It's no same time lefgam. Nevertheless, the mixture is already aser. V'chein, ki aser rabin, amr rabba rachana, amr rabbi yochanan. So too again, about say, when rabin came along, he said in the name of rabba bar barachana, amr rabbi yochanan, lo shanu ella, shenafa l'soch grisin roskin. Rabbi say, just backing up what we just said. When do we say that the vinegar, I will say that it's no same time, lifgam, that the vinegar has a negative impact on the split beans? That's only if they fell into beans which were hot. Only if it fell into beans which were hot. Aval nafa l'soch grisin soninim, ver sichan. Rabbi say, if at the end of the day, it fell into cold beans, and then it was subsequently heated up, Naase kimishesh biach, Rabbi say, then this is like a mixture that was first, again, benefited, ulubasof pagam, but then only later on became detrimental and therefore aser. So we'll say, since, again, same thing as we just said before, since at the time that the vinegar was introduced to the beans, it had a positive impact, so therefore, again, the mixture will be aser, even if it is subsequently heated up, and therefore, again, the vinegar has a negative impact later on. Nevertheless, we judge the mixture at the time it was created. V'chein, ki aser rav dimi. So we'll listen to the simile again. When Rudimi came along, he said as follows. He said, V'kach hayu osin ba'arve shabasos b'tzipori. We'll say, apparently, this was a dish that they used to make on Erev Shabbos in Tzipori. Apparently, this was a dish that they used to make. I don't know if it means that this was like their Toa Mehel, you know, this was the little pre-Shabbos food, or this is what they went ahead and they made for Shabbos. But the dish they used to make on Erev Shabbos in Tzipori, Rabosai, was this dish of split beans, cold split beans, and vinegar. The Korin Osa Shchalayim. Rabosai, they used to call this dish Shchalayim. Look at Rashi, just a moment. The Kachaya Osin, it's the last of the wide lines on top. Rashi says, the Kachaya Osin, Nostin Chometz Lesoch Grisin Sonin. They would go out and they would put vinegar into cold beans. Vahaya Mashbichan. And I will say the cold vinegar would have a positive impact ultimately on the beans. For Avdimi Kamala. So also all the Gemara is just doing is, by the way, just pointing out, you know, we've been saying that vinegar on cold beans is l'shvach, vinegar on cold beans is l'fgam. Now the Gemara is just saying, by the way, this is actually done. And this was actually, I don't know if it's a delicacy, but it was certainly something which was consumed on a regular basis. It seems to have been a Michael Choshev, something important of a haraya. It was made the covered Shabbos. Good. So we'll say now we go weiter. Amar Reish Lakish. So we'll say, now we're going to come to a very important qualifying statement. Reish Lakish comes along and says as follows. No Satan Dam of Gam, we'll say, and here's what's fascinating. We've now established that if you have a prohibited item, which is mixed into a permitted item, okay, we could just keep the same example over here of the vinegar and the beans. It doesn't make a difference, whatever it is. So the prohibited item gets mixed into the permitted item. So what you said is as follows. If the prohibited item is what we call nosein tam lifgam, which means it has an overall detrimental taste impact on the mixture, so the mixture is permitted, even though there is clearly a presence of the prohibited item. So we'll say, now the shayla is, how do we define negative taste impact? So watch this. This is actually amazing. Amrei Shlakish, no se tam lefgam sha'amru. We'll say, when we say that no se tam lefgam is mutter, lo sheyomru kedeira zu chaseira melach, yaseira melach, chaseira tavlin, yaseira tavlin. So we'll say, I'm going to translate the words, then we'll explain the concept. So Rei Shlakish comes along and says, when we say no se tam lefgam is mutter, that doesn't mean you should say, well, this pot of food was already deficient in salt, too much salt, deficient in spices, too much spices. Ela kol she'in chaseira klum ve'ina ne'echeles mipnezeh. The boss say, what Rei Shlakish is saying is, and this is really amazing. Hold on to your seats for this one. Rei Shlakish is like this. It could be that you could introduce a prohibited item into a permitted item, and you'll say, oh, negative taste impact. But why is there a negative taste impact? Because you didn't put in the other necessary ingredients into the pot. In other words, had you added more salt, had you added more pepper, had you added less salt, less pepper, whatever it is, then that would have neutralized the taste, ultimately, again, of the prohibited item. So we'll say, Rish Lakish is saying is, the only time we say, no sintam lifgam is mutter, is only when Rabbi Osai, when all of the other, we'll call it, control substances are in their right measure. When everything else that is supposed to be there is there, then halacha lemaisa, we say no same time of gam is mutter. But if something else is missing from the mixture, and that something else could have potentially neutralized the negative taste of the prohibited item, then what? Then we don't say no same time of gam is aser, is mutter, excuse me. We'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. Lo sheyomru. Rashi says chumrahi. We'll say, this statement of Rei Shlakish is a chumrah. What's the chumrah? Kilomar. Lo sheyuchlu lases pigam. Actually, he changes it. He changes lases. Lithlos, thank you. Lo shel yuchlu lislos pegam betavshil machmas davar acher. Posse, it has to be that you can't hinge the negative taste of the mixture on something else. Machmas davar acher. Kigon sheyachaseira melach or yisera. For example, let's say the pot had too much. The dish had too much salt, too little salt. Bim nifka machmas davar acher. Ein tolin apagam beisr va'aser. So we'll say, this is the chumrah of Rei Shlakish. Rei Shlakish essentially says, we'll say, that if the reason why the dish doesn't taste good is because of too much or too little of some other, we'll call it, ingredient or condiment, then Rabbi Osai, then you can't say no same tam lifgam is aser. I'm sorry, mutter. The only time no same tam lifgam is mutter, Rabbi Osai, is when the negative taste impact is wholly and fully attributable to the prohibited food item. But if the negative taste could somehow be traced back to too much or too little of some other ingredient, then you can no longer blame that on the forbidden food substance, and as such, it will not be mutter. Look at the next Rashi. Ella, Ezu tam lefgam shemutter. Kol she'eno chaseira, shum tikun Rashi says, ve'eno ne'achales mipnei zeh, kilomar, ve'isr zeh pogim taima, ve'eno ne'achales, lav dafka, dechevan depikimasa purta, karle inechas. Well, let's listen to this. So in this iteration of Rei Shlakish, we're going to see, we're about to see another version in just a moment. In this version of Rei Shlakish, I will say, in order to say, no sein tam lefgam is mutter, every other part of the dish, of the cooked dish, has to be in perfect order. And it is clear that the only reason why the taste is off is because of the infusion of this prohibited substance. But should something else be off in the cooked dish, even though the prohibited substance might be a contributing factor to the negative taste, ultimately the dish will still be aser. When I say dish, I mean the food. I'm not about the kli. V'ikidari, well, that's the first version of Rish Lakish. Now watch this. V'ikidamri, there is another version of Rish Lakish. We'll say this is, by the way, if the first one was a Chumra of Reish Lakish, this second one is the Kula version of Reish Lakish. We already like it, even before we learned it. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, V'ikad da'amri, am Reish Lakish, no Saint Tamlef Gam she'amru. So we'll say, when we say no Saint Tamlef Gam is mutter, that when ultimately again, the prohibited item infuses or imparts a negative taste, which, so when do we say that's mutter? Ein omrim kedera zu chazera melach, yisera melach, chazera tavlin, yisera tavlin. But we'll say, we don't say, well, this dish has too much salt, too little salt, too much spices, too little spices. Ela hashta miha hapagma. Rather, again, we'll say, says Reish Lakish, we'll say, what do we look at? We look at what the mixture is now. In other words, we don't need to reverse engineer this cooked dish and to say, well, you know, let's back this out. And had you had more salt, this prohibited substance would have had a negative taste impact. Had you put in more pepper, we don't have to do that. So rather, what do? We look at the mixture as it is. And if the mixture as it is has a negative taste as a result, ultimately, again, of the infusion of the prohibited food item, then what? That's called no sin tam lifgam is mutter, and the mixture is mutter. We don't start getting into, well, if you had more salt or if you had more pepper, then the prohibited item would not have had a negative taste effect. So we'll say, you begin to see a common denominator. What's the common denominator? That when it comes to the laws of mixtures, so we'll say, how do we assess the halacha? Based on the mitzias that's in front of us. Based on the mitzias that's in front of us. And we don't look as to what was, what could be, or ultimately, again, what should have been. So we'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. V'ikad da'amri, Rashi says, Hadi Reish Lakish Lakula. So we'll say, this version of Reish Lakish is Lakula. No Sein Tam Lefkam Sha'amru Ein Omer. Kilomar, Ein Tolena Pagam Lebedavar Acher. We'll say, we do not attribute the negative taste to something else. Lomar, Chaseirihi Melach. We don't say, well, you know what, the real problem here, we'll say, is not the prohibited substance. The real problem here is that there's not enough salt. And if the dish had the right proportions of ingredients, so then the prohibited item would not have a negative taste impact. If there was more salt, that would have negated the negative taste of the asr item. Kimoshi havi pigam umutter. We'll say ultimately, but rather, what do we say? Listen, here's what we know. What we know is the food tasted fine before the isser was introduced. Now the isser was introduced, and now what, Rabosai? And now what? The food doesn't taste good. Of course, as a number of you mentioned, Rabosai, how do you know the food doesn't taste good? Obviously, it's not a Jew who's tasting this. You have an akum taster who's going to taste this to try to figure out if there's nesinas tam or not. Rabosai, but lemaisa, again, we assess the mixture based on what it is now. So we'll say this seems to be the ongoing theme, right? Seems to be the ongoing theme. That halacha lemaisa, we assess the mixture based on the way it is in front of me right now. So for example, in the previous case, we'll say, when it's, let's say, vinegar mixed into cold beans, even though subsequently it gets heated up, in the cold state, the vinegar is no sin tam l'shvach. In the hot state, it's no sin tam l'fgam. We don't say that since it's ultimately heated up, it's no sin tam l'fgam. Rather, what Rabbi say? We assess the halachic nature of the mixture based on what? Based on the time that the mixture occurred. So too over here. When the prohibited item is mixed into the mixture, we don't say, well, just if you added more salt or if you added more pepper, the taste would be fine. We look at what it is right now, and if at the end of the day the prohibited item had a negative taste impact on the mixture, then halacha lemaisa, the mixture will be mutter. And I will say, that is indeed, by the way, how we paskin halacha lemaisa. So the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Hilchos Taruv, this is all Yerodea. All of these sugis are in Yerodea. Aval Azar is also in Yerodea. So the halacha is as follows. The halacha is afilu. Ein koach beisrael levado lifkom ela aydei davar acher shemasai. You know, shenaf esle kedera shish v'melech otavlin meduchan v'male hamelech v'atavlin sheba lo haya koach beisrael lifkom afilu hachi mutter. So we'll say the Shulchan Aruch actually phrases this a little bit differently. In the Shulchan Aruch's model, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. In the Shulchan Aruch's model, we'll say, he actually brings out an interesting variation of this case, which is not exactly our case, but the principle is the same. Let's say the prohibited item gets mixed into the mixture. We'll say, and what? Let's say, for argument's sake, that the prohibited item by itself would not have given a negative taste, but because of the spices which already exist in the mixture, the prohibited item gives a negative taste to the mixture. So because of the salt, had there been no salt, it wouldn't have been no satam of gam. But now that there's salt, the salt ultimately is what creates the negative taste in the prohibited item. Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's asar. Or in other words, we don't start getting into figuring out what ingredients are causing what. Rather, we look at one simple thing. You have something prohibited mixed into something permitted, Rabosei. What are we looking at? What does it taste like? Does it taste good or does it taste bad? If it tastes bad, then Rabosei, what? That's called Nosei Tam Lefgam, and ultimately that is going to be mutter. If it tastes good or it tastes the same or it tastes neutral, then ultimately, again, that's going to be called Nosei Tam Leshvach, and therefore it's going to be asr. Again, we're looking at these halachos in a vacuum. There's much more to say about this because remember, this is also not talking about things like shishim, batal b'shishim, batal b'rov. We're not getting into, so again, this is not the primary sugya here. We'll get into all of those halachos in Meretz Hashem, but at least conceptually, I'm arming you with these incredible halachic constructs. I'm Rabbi Avo, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Kol shetamo umamasho asr. So again, a little bit more Hilchos Kashrus here. So Rabbi Yochanan says as follows: Kol shetama umamasha lokin alav. Rabbi Yochanan, any time where there is a prohibited item mixed into a permitted item, and there is what's called tama umamasha. Rabbi Yochanan, tama umamasha means there's taste, but there's not just taste. There's the actual mamashus, meaning the davar ha'aser itself is actively there. Rabbi Yochanan, we'll see that there are other key. Well, we'll see in just a moment. So we'll say that is going to be aser v'lokin alav. And if you consume this, technically, under certain circumstances, depending on what the prohibited item is, you may actually be chayiv malchus, v'zeu kizayis b'chdei achilas pras. And I will say, this is what we call a kizayis b'chdei achilas pras. So I will say, as we'll see, as we'll learn, there are certain things, Rabbi Yossi, which you, if you eat enough of it, the halacha makes the assumption that you have consumed a kezayis of prohibited food, bizman kedei achilas pras. Rabbi Yossi, so bizman kedei achilas pras essentially means as follows, that in halacha, you don't have to eat at once, in within a couple of moments, in order for it to constitute one act of eating. Even if a particular act of eating spans over a certain amount of time, as long as it is a certain defined amount of time, what we call Bichdei achilas pras, right? The amount of time that literally it takes to eat half a loaf, then halacha lamaisa that achilas mitzdaif. We'll say, you know, these halachos become halacha lamaisa for us. You know, very often when a person has to eat on Yom Kippur, a person is a chola, and they have to eat on Yom Kippur, so often what we try to do is we try to have them eat in a way where their smaller acts of eating are prolonged over a longer amount of time, so those achilos, those acts of consumption, are not mitztarif. They do not combine. So at least on a halachic level, interestingly enough, a person can be eating on Yom Kippur, yet halachically still considered as if they're fasting. So just an interesting idea. So the Rabbi Yochanan will say, if you have tam and mamashu, if you have taste and mamashus, literally the actual iser, in the mixture, and you eat this, it'd be a case where you get malchus, but assuming that you eat a kizayis b'chdei achilas pras, we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, kol shetama mamashu lokin alav, v'zeo kizayis b'chdei achilas pras, v'al kigon zeh, ne'emar shir kizayis b'chdei achilas pras, halacha l'moshe misinai, shim yesh b'kishir pras, shal tav shal kizayis mina iser, lokin. So we'll say, in other words, without getting into technicalities over here, what the Gemara is saying is that if you have enough iser mixed into the heter, that if you consume a kizayis in the amount of time that it takes to eat the kizdei achilas pras that we are concerned that you consume the kizayis of iser, you would actually get malchus for that. You'd actually get lashes. Amadeus. We'll say, what's the next case? Tamo v'lo mamasho. We'll say, what's the next case? The next case is, we'll say, where there's just, what about a case of where there's just tam, there's just taste, but there's no mamish. But ultimately, again, the actual iser is not there. Now, both say this by itself is a fascinating case. Because what exactly does this mean? That there's tam, but no mamashus, right? But there's, so we'll say, if you look at Rashi defines this as tamo v'lo mamasho kigon chalav shenafa l'kdeira. But we'll say this would be a case of milk that falls into a pot of meat. O chelev shenafa nimuach shen b'mamasho be'en. Or we'll say what? Or that would be a case of chila, let's say forbidden fat that dissolves, that is no longer there. So Rashi, look at what the Gemara says. Tamo v'lo mamasho. So we'll say if you have something that is usr, that ultimately falls into something that is aser, and what? And Rabbi Hosea is no longer there. So the tam is there, but the mamashus is not there. Then what? Then Rabbi Hosea, interesting enough, the Gemara says, aser ve'in lokin alav. So Rabbi Hosea, it's aser, but you don't get malchus. Rabbi Hosea, now, so I want to tell you something amazing over here. So Rashi says, that's the case of milk that falls into meat. So Rabbi Hosea, so what does that seem to say? According to Rashi, every single case of basar b'chalav, when milk falls into meat, Rabbi Hosea, is a case of tam, where there's no mamashus. And therefore, again, if there's just taste, but no actual physical isser, so it's aser which you don't get malchus. Which Rabbi Hosea is a very dramatic sheet. The Tosus vehemently disagrees with this, and Tosus says no. The case of tam below mamish is what is where a forbidden item falls in, and then what Rabbi Hosea? And then what? No, I don't mean no. Probably not, right? Is that it removed? So Rabbi Hosea, so it falls in and then it's removed. So Rabbi Hosea, and that's a case where what? You have tam, you can have flavor, but the mamushas is not there. Tosus holds Rabbi Hosea that a case of where you have milk that falls in, even though the milk is no longer discernible, the milk is there. The chalev falls in and the chalev dissolves. The chalev might not be discernible, but the chalev is there. So just, again, let's say, I'm not doing these sugyas justice because we're going to do them in chuliv, right? I will say, this is a very exciting sugya of tam below mamish, about what the impact of negative flavor is when it's clear that there is no mamushus. There's mamish, no real isser there. So Rashi says, tam below mamish is the case of where the object, essentially the isser, dissolves into the heter. Tosis says, no, it's a case of where the isser fell in, but was then removed. So all I have is the flavor, but not the actual mamasha. So we'll say that would be a case. So again, all the Gemara is just doing over, we'll say, is drawing, what, you know, what, once we got into tam ki'ikr, I should say, once we got into no saying tam lefgam, once we got into ultimately, again, about the impact of flavor, we're bringing down all of these other cases as well. So therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, what we have over here is where there's tam and mamish, so where there's taste and where there is actual physical isser, then Rabbi Hosea, if you end up eating a kizayis of that pechte achilas pras, you get malchus. If there's tam, but there's no mamish, there's no physical isser there, then it's aser, but you don't get malchus on it. V'im riba, tam lefgam mutar. Rabbi Hosea, ultimately again, if the infusion of the forbidden item ultimately again has a negative taste impact, then the mixture is mutter. So we'll say, look at Rashi. Vim riba tam lefgam, second line from the Tab and Rashi. Ha riba kula mashma, sha'afa pishin nefgam machmas davar acher, im hoyel iser zel rabos hasapagam mutter. Ultimately, again, if the forbidden item somehow has a negative taste impact, then halacha lemaisa, the mixture is permitted. So Gemara says, both say, if you notice, by the way, the Gemara just switched the verbiage. Up until now, we've always been using the same phrase, which is what? Nosein tam lefgam. Why does the Gemara now say, v'im riba tam lefgam? V'leima im nosan tam lefgam mutter. Why don't you just say what we've been saying it up until now? Im nosan tam lefgam mutter. Hakamash malon, da'af agav di mi'ika mili achrenaisa de pagma bahade. We'll say, oh, what's the novelty? We'll say, the chiddush is, as we just said before, which is what? Even though you could say that there's something else that's also causing the negative taste. For example, Rabbi Hosea, the forbidden item falls in, right? Falls into the permitted mixture. And what happens? Had there not been salt in the dish, then what? Forbidden item would not have been nosei tam lefgam. But now what? The salt draws out whatever it is, the negative, the harmful flavor of the negative item. So I might have been tempted to say, well, it's not the isser that's nosei tam lefgam. The isser might be contributing, but lemaisa, it's the salt. So the Gemara says we don't say that. The imriba tam lefgam, if the isser ultimately results in negative taste for the mixture, whether it's because of the isser itself, or it's the interaction of the isser with some other spice that's already in the dish, if at the end of the day, I will say it's very simple, if at the end of the day, what? It tastes bad. If at the end of the day, it tasted good before, and now it tastes bad since the isser was introduced, whatever the reason for that is, whether it's because of the isser itself, or the interaction with some pre-existing ingredients, halacha lemaisa, that's called nosei tam lefgam, and the mixture is going to be mutar. The hilchasa, I will say, what is the halacha? I know I spoiled it a little bit. The hilchasa, kalishna basra de Reish Lakish. And I will say, the halacha indeed follows the second version of Reish Lakish. Remember again, two versions of Reish Lakish, the Chumrah version, which was the first version, and the Kula version, the second version. The halacha follows the second Kula version of Reish Lakish. And also, as we just saw in the Shulchan Aruch, Yardea Kuf Gimel, then halacha lemais again, as we no sin tam lif gam is mutter, and even if at the end of the day one could say that it's because of other ingredients in the dish that the Isser is imparting a negative flavor, and had those ingredients been removed, the Isser would not impart negative flavor. We don't look at that. Rather, we assess the dish as it is. And if Lamaisa, as a result now of the infusion of the negative, of the Usser food item, there is a negative flavor, then ultimately, again, that is going to be no sitam of gam, and that is going to be mutter. Good. Rav Kana. So Rav Kana says as follows. Medivrei kulam nilmad. We'll say from all of the opinions that we quoted so far, so we can learn the following. No sitam of gam mutter. So we'll say, this was a pretty safe bet on Rav Kahana's part. Right? So based on everything we've learned, based on everyone we've quoted, I think it's safe to say that everyone agrees, no sin tam lifgam is mutter. That I will say, when you have a prohibited food item mixed into a permitted mixture, and the prohibited food item imparts a negative flavor, that the mixture is going to be mutter. So Amrei Abaye, Abaye says, Bishlama mikul hu l'chaye. So Abaye says to Rav Kahana, okay, I would agree with you, based on everyone you said. Abaye said, look at Rashi just a moment. When Rav Kahana said, everyone, who's everyone? Rashi, first short line, Medivrei Kula Nilmat, Rav Yehuda, Rav Bar Bar Chana, Rav Dimi, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Avo. So I said, these are all the opinions who were quoted in our discussions up until now. So Rav Kahana says, it's nice when you come across a halachic principle that everybody seems to rally around. Based on everyone we've quoted, halacha l'maisa, again, no stand of gam is mutter. I'm not Abaye. Abaye says, 1 second. Bishlam mikul l'chayim. I will agree with almost everyone on your list. Ela d'Reish Lakish, amru ka'amar, v'lei lo svirle. We'll say, listen to this. So if you look at the Lashon of Reish Lakish, Rav Osai, when Reish Lakish, both in the first iteration and the second iteration, so Reish Lakish says as follows. Am Reish Lakish, no sein tam lifgam sha'amru. When Reish Lakish makes a statement, he says that when the rabbis spoke about the fact that no sein tam lifgam is usser, and then he again goes on to qualify the statement. Sabai comes along and says, why does Reish Lakish say ka'amru? Why does he mean, meaning Reish Lakish could have just said, when we say no sein tam lifgam is mutter, so here are the parameters ultimately for this halacha. But that's not what he says. He says, no sein tam lifgam sha'amru. That when the rabbis said that no sein tam lifgam is mutter, this is how they define the parameters of that principle. So we'll say, what does that sound like? It sounds like, Reish Lakish amru kamar v'lei lo svirale. It sounds like maybe Reish Lakish himself is explaining the sheet of the Rabbanan, or really of everybody else, but he himself does not subscribe to this. But he himself maybe holds that no sein tam lifgam is usser. So we'll say maybe Reish Lakish himself actually holds that even when the negative food item imparts the prohibited food item imparts a negative taste, nevertheless the mixture is going to be usser. So the Gemara says, we'll say, this is like michlal. The ikalamando amar no sin tam lifgam usser. We'll say, because be, I know it's crazy, right? It's mamish crazy. You're off your kalim with stuff like this. Could it be that ultimately, again, such a shita is possible and plausible? I'll say, could there be anyone who holds that no sin tam lifgam is usser? Yes, actually, it's possible. Vatanya, but 1 second, we learned. Because also, listen to this, Raisa. Rabbi Meir holds Rabosai that whether the prohibited food item gives a tam lefgam a negative taste or a tam leshvach, ultimately, again, it is going to be usser. Rabosai, that is the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon says, leshvach usser, olefgam mutter. Shimon says, no, the only time it's prohibited is if the prohibited food item imparts a positive taste. If it's a negative taste, then it's going to be mutter. So we'll say, so here you have it. Rabbi Meir holds that any time that there is an infusion of a prohibited food item into a mixture, whether that prohibited food item imparts a positive taste or a negative taste, the mixture is going to be usser. So Gemara says, my time to Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Meir, where do you get this from? We'll say, this is amazing. Gamar, migi ule ov de kochavim. So we'll say, he learns it out from the halachos of kashering the utensils of Goyer. We'll say, now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Gi'ule ovdei kochavim, Rashi says, d'rachmana asrinu b'chlei midjan. So we'll say, remember again, where do we learn out the laws of kashering kelim from? We learn out from the war against Midyan. Klal Yisrael goes to war against Midyan. This is in the Midbar. Under Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership, we are successful in that war, and we come back with the spoils of war. Included in the spoils of war were pots, utensils, all different things. And that is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to give Klal Yisrael the laws of kashering. That ultimately, again, you cannot use the utensil of a Gentile without first purging the utensil from any prohibited absorptions. So Rashi says over Yalef Migili of the Chumdrachman Asrinu. Remember again, so the Torah says that the Jew is not permitted to use the utensil of the Nachri without properly kashering it. Dechsiv kol davar sheyava ba'esh. Dimashma hoil v'nishtamish ovi kochavim bikli chamin tzarech la'arsiach kedei sheyiflot gil shebala. So what does it teach us? It teaches us two things. Number one, that when a Gentile uses a utensil, when anyone uses a utensil, the utensil absorbs. And before the Jew could go ahead and use the utensil, then what? The utensil ultimately, again, must be purged of any absorptions. So the Gemara says, ultimately, again, what do you see? Now, we'll say, what's the status of the absorptions in the utensil? Bipashtos, Rabbi Meir assumes that those absorptions are no same tam lifgam. They will say that ultimately, again, anything absorbed into the utensil is already going to be dormant and potentially have a negative culinary impact or a negative taste impact. And yet, what do you see? That the Torah still asers it. Sabi Meir says, you see from here that even no same tam lifgam is going to be aser. Hachinami loshna. So we'll say, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have to kasher the utensils. Even though the absorptions will not be lishvach, the absorptions will be lifgam. So too over here, we'll say, Rabbi Meir says, any time that there is a prohibited mixture or a prohibited taste infusion, even if it's lifgam, it's still going to be aser. V'idach, what's the other opinion? We'll say, Kidra funa b'ri d'rav chiyah, damra funa b'ri d'rav chiyah, lo asra Torah, ela kidera bas yoma d'lo lifgamu. We'll say, the other opinion will say, no, even when, bless you, even when it comes to the laws of kashering, we'll say, the Torah only prohibits what we call what? A kidera bas yoma, which means midaraisa, the only time you have to kashri a tensor bosa is when the Oved Kochavim used it in the last 24 hours. Because then the assumption is that the absorptions are still live, we'll call it their live absorptions, and therefore they could be l'shvach. But if it's after 24 hours, then what Rabbi say? We assume that the absorptions are lifgam, and therefore again only have a negative taste impact. V'idach, kedera bas yoma nami i'efshad lo pagma porta. And what Rabbi Meir will say, no, even if it's been used in the last 24 hours, once it's been absorbed into the utensil, then what Rabbi say? It's impossible that there isn't some, we'll call it diminution, in the positivity of the infusion. That didn't make sense, but you understand. Right? It's impossible that ultimately, again, that the taste was not dulled in some way. So it's going to be lifgam in some way. Reb Shimon, so my time. So we'll say, so again, so we have over here is the shita ultimately of Rabbi Meir. So we'll say Rabbi Meir holds that any infusion of Usser taste, we'll say, is going to be usser. Whether it's l'shvach or whether it's l'fgam, whether it's positive or whether it's negative. Where does he get this from? He gets this, we'll say, from the paradigmatic case of Giulei Midyon. We'll say, ultimately, in the same way the Torah says, that which is absorbed into the pot of the Nachri is going to be usser. Now, those absorptions aren't beneficial. Those absorptions are only going to be detrimental, yet the Torah still says, you have to get rid of them. So from here, we see that any infusion of usser taste is going to be usser, whether it's beneficial or whether it's detrimental, ultimately, again, to the mixture as a whole. So we'll say, all right, so let me do one more line. Reb Shimon, my time up. We'll say, what's Reb Shimon's logic? Remember, again, Reb Shimon holds that the taste is only usser if what Reb Shimon says, if what? If it's the shvach, but not if it's lefgam. So where does he get that from? Desanya, lo sochlu kol nevela l'ger shebisharecha. Pasuk says, you shall not eat any nevela, rather you should give it to the Gentile who lives in your gates. We'll say only ultimately, again, only something fit for consumption by a non-Jew is called nevela, top of Samaches, she'ein ru'uya l'ger, eina kuruya nevela. We'll say if it's not fit for consumption, for example, ultimately, again, it's spoiled, then it doesn't have the status of nevela. So we'll say, Rabbi Shimon will say, that only something, Rabbi will say, that is actively fit for consumption is called aser. If it's not actively fit for consumption, then it's not aser. So for example, again, if you have the infusion of taste from the prohibited item, if as a result of the infusion, the mixture is edible, then it's aser. But if the mixture is no same tam lefgam, then what Rabbah say, it's not going to be called nevela, so to speak. It's not going to be aser, and therefore the mixture will be mutter. So stop over here for today. I'll share with you, stopping a little bit in the middle, but I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.